Hi, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of KleptoCast, the podcast series from the Hudson Institute's Kleptocracy Initiative. My name is Casey Michelle, and my guest today is Laura Briot, an anti-money laundering policy officer with Transparency International. Laura has worked also with the OECD, where she focused on corruption in the extraction sector. More recently, she authored Transparency International's new reports entitled Under the Shell, which focused on how European jurisdictions have or have not followed through on transparency commitments when it comes to both shell companies and trusts. The new report focuses on six nations in particular: Italy, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, the Czech Republic, Portugal, and Slovenia. So, Laura, it's great having you with us today. Can you give us a quick overview of some of the report's main findings and maybe some of the findings that really stuck out to you?
Yes, sure. Hi, Casey. Thank you for inviting me. It's a real pleasure to be here to present the results of our research on anti-money laundering in Europe. So we've been focusing on one particular aspect of anti-money laundering regimes, European anti-money laundering regimes, which is what we call beneficial ownership transparency. And what is behind this barber your stain term is this idea that is like, so a beneficial owner is the ultimate owner or person, the person who ultimately owns or controls the assets. And what money launderers usually do is that they use all possible tricks to actually disconnect or break the path between the beneficial owner and the assets. So they do that through the use of shell companies and trust, but they also use nominees, for example. So these people that are hired to act on behalf of the beneficial owner as a director or as a shareholder. So it's very timely for us. I just want to remind this as a bit as a disclaimer, like as a, yeah, for background information. It's very timely for us in Europe at the moment, since following the Panama Papers, the European Union has decided to strengthen its role to fight against money laundering, and in particular this directive, the fourth directive on anti-money laundering. So the Commission put a proposal on the table in July last year, and since March we have entered into this phase of trialogue negotiations between the Commission, the Council and the Parliament, which shall be concluded by the summer. So that's the context in which we're launching this this report. And what we see, so following all these scandals, the numbers are terrifying and showing how European citizens are massively using shell companies, offshore companies and trust. We decided to go a bit on the ground and look at what is being done at national level to address this issue. You mentioned already the six countries we've been focusing on, and we identify a number of gaps and loopholes, not only in the legislation, but also in enforcement of this legislation. And here are the few findings, just to give you an overview of the findings that we found, the results that we found in terms of legislation. We found some flaws in the legal definition of beneficial owner, which is highly problematic since it constitutes the cornerstone of the legal framework from which all the other obligations will derive. We can talk about this a bit later. It's about the threshold of ownership above which a beneficial owner needs to be to report or to be identified by professionals. We consider it's too high. The definition also has a loophole in the sense that it allows identifying a nominee. It would allow give the possibility to identify a nominee instead of the beneficial owner, because if you don't find any beneficial owner under the primary criteria of ownership, you could always list senior managers as beneficial owner, and those are not always actually having ultimate control or ownership of the assets. Then we found some gaps in access to beneficial ownership information by competent authorities, public authorities that need to access this information for in their investigations or for their regulatory activities, but also by obliged entities, those professions that are actually subject to customer due diligence, but also in general by the public. And these gaps are first regards the coverage because the directive, the EU rules, currently foresee the establishment of central registers of beneficial owner for companies and trusts and sub trusts. But the coverage of this registration requirements is really too limited. It does not cover those companies or trusts that are not incorporated under EU law, like, or under the law of a member state, but that are actually operating in Europe. And this is something that we've seen a lot in the Panama Papers, a trust being established in Panama by European citizens and who is actually investing in real estate in Europe or is owning company shares in Europe or bank accounts. And here, this would not be captured by the current rules at EU level, but also at national level. Then there are limitations as well in the conditions of access. As I said, the EU directive foresees that access would be granted to third parties that are not competent authorities nor professionals, to those that can demonstrate a legitimate interest. And this is a very, this is a notion that is very vague, not defined in the directive, and would be left at the discretion of the member state to actually define, interpret what it means. And we already see at national level very narrow interpretation of this notion, with, for example, Italy going for a very narrow interpretation where only those people that are involved in legal proceedings with one company would be able to access beneficial ownership information on this company. This is very narrow. It's not at all what we would want to see, like NGOs or journalists being able to access this information in order to be able to, like, process it, cross references with other databases and identify anomalies what happened with the Panama Papers. I'm not going to go too long into the, like, legal loopholes, but there's also this problem of nominees. That is insufficiently regulated in Europe and at national level as well. Same for bearer shares. It still exists in all six countries covered. Just a few words on enforcement. It's a big issue. There are like problem in enforcement of the rules, in particular control and sanctions. Just one example that struck us is, for example, it's in Luxembourg. In 2015, four sanctions were imposed on the financial institution by the financial regulators. And when we know, like, when we compare it with the size of the sector and the exposure of the sector, the international attractiveness of the financial sector in Luxembourg, it seems unreasonably low. Then there's the issue also of assessing the risk. It's striking that in two countries, Luxembourg and the Netherlands, which are countries with we could suspect some money laundering risks associated with looking at the size of the sector, they have never carried out a national risk assessment at the time of writing. So this is also a bit worrying. I'll stop here for this first question.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you, Laura, for that wonderful rundown. One of the things that you mentioned at the beginning of that rundown dealt with the current threshold for identifying beneficial owners, which is discussed in the report. It's currently at or recommended to be at 25% to identify a beneficial owner. Now, this is a number that Transparency International, along with other organizations, believe is too high, and they believe it should be lowered. Why does Transparency International believe that this threshold of 25% is currently too high?
Well, we think it would be easy to circumvent for someone looking to stay under the radar. It would only take like to find four persons to actually act as shareholders to be able to avoid the registration requirements. And just to give one example, there was this case in Azerbaijan of a golden mine being awarded to a UK company. And it was revealed later that this company was allegedly owned by the daughters and wife of the Azeri president, but they ultimately own only 11% of the shares. And even if at the time the beneficial ownership transparency rules had been in place, this threshold of 25% wouldn't have allowed to detect the anomaly and detect the case anyway. So this is just one example to show that it's really too high. We would advise lowering down at least to 10% or so, just to say, depending on the sector, a 5% stake, for example, in an extractive project can be already very significant, not to talk about 25%.
Sure, okay. So the report was released last week. What have the responses been thus far to the report and the report's findings, either in Brussels or maybe in the countries surveyed?
Well, as I mentioned, we are just in the process of in Brussels here, the trialogue phase, so this tripartite negotiations between Commission, Council and Parliament has just started, is underway and should be concluded by the summer. So we've had some good coverage at national level, because member states, I think, there are still pockets of resistance in the council, and that's where we're trying to mobilize people on this. We've had some coverage in Germany. It's still just 1 week after the report, after the launch. We will be presenting it in a number of occasions in Brussels and at national level as well.
Wonderful. Okay. So, yeah, one of the main findings in the report is that these countries vary when it comes to oversight and transparency for shell companies. But it does seem that in certain countries, Slovenia, for instance, there at least has been progress when it comes to shell company oversight. But it seems like these countries are lagging even further when it comes to trusts and registries for trusts. Can you tell us a little bit, Laura, about why these countries are lagging even more when it comes to trusts as opposed to shell companies?
Yes, sure. One of the main reasons is that most countries covered and even most countries in Europe, they do not have any trust law. So in our study, out of the six, only two have trust law in place. And until recently, it was not considered to be an issue. For example, a country like the Netherlands continues to remain completely blind to the issue of trust. They recently issued their draft bill, which is currently under discussion in the parliament. And the bill doesn't mention anything about trust. They consider that it's not an issue because they don't have any trust law. I think some countries start looking at the issue from the tax evasion angle. So looking at those, for example, France has set up a central register on trust because they were very concerned about this French citizen setting up foreign trust for tax evasion purposes. So the entry door is not always money laundering, is more often tax evasion. And Slovenia is a bit the same approach. They've set up this public register of trust that will be covering any trust operating in Slovenia, due to business or tax label. So it's quite innovative.
Yeah, sure. Very innovative. Okay, so Laura, just as a final question, because we've taken enough of your time already, the report thankfully comes with plenty of recommendations moving forward, plenty of policy recommendations. How difficult would it be for these countries to implement these policy prescriptions, policy recommendations that Transparency International recommends?
So it will depend on the existing capacity in each country, obviously. The main success factor, I would say, will be if there is enough effort put on enforcement and implementation. And one of the trickiest thing will be about verifying. So for this central registers of beneficial owner, which will be based on self-declaration, that means it will be the companies and trust themselves that we will have to report the information. So it will be very important and critical that member states provide for verification and sanction mechanism to make sure the information that is reported is accurate, and if not, there are sanctions in place to apply applicable in cases of non-reporting or false reporting. This is critical, and this is not an easy task. We've been trying to sketch some ideas, looking at country practices, but it's really challenging. So I would say this is where member state will have to focus their efforts.